Amen. You may be seated this morning, and as you're being seated, if you will get out your copy of God's Word and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue in our series through the book of Ephesians, living in the light of the gospel. Because of what Christ has done in us, it should affect the way that we live and conduct ourselves in our lives. If you didn't bring your Bible this morning, let me encourage you to look underneath a seat near you, and you will find a Bible there. And if you turn to page 978, then you will be at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to follow along with me beginning in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, so that we can get the context here. Paul says in verse 7, "Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Walk in a manner that is worthy to the calling to which you have been called." That is what Paul is telling us. We're in the middle of Paul showing us how we are to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And chapters 1 through 3 is God in Christ called you to Himself. This is all that Christ has done. Chapters 4 through 6, Christ is worthy because of this, of your life. So walk in a manner that is worthy of this calling. Walk in a manner that is worthy of Christ as you live. And Paul tells us that we demonstrate Christ's worth when we walk in unity, when we walk in holiness, when we walk in love, and when we walk in light in the midst of darkness. But that doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen that as you go through life that you do these things. Walking in a manner that displays the worth of Christ isn't the natural way to walk. It is only because of the transformation that Christ has taken place, or that has taken place in us in Christ, that we can. And it's especially difficult because we're walking in darkness. Okay, the darkness is real. It is not neutral. It is constantly pressing in, trying to get the Christian to give in or give up. And so Paul exhorts us in verses 15 and 16 to walk in wisdom. Because to walk wisely is how you are going to do these things. To walk in a manner that is worthy of Christ. To walk in unity. To walk in love. To walk in humility. To all of those things, you have to walk in wisdom. Now, next week, we're going to look at how to walk in wisdom. So you come back for that. But today, we want to look at two truths that are found in these verses about walking in wisdom. And the first thing that I want you to notice is that walking in wisdom requires you to be intentional with each moment of your life. Walking in wisdom requires that you are intentional with each moment of your life. Paul says in verse 15, "Look carefully then." The word "look" in the Greek, it means to be watchful, to be on guard, to be mindful of something. Jesus used this word often in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, and Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray." He's not just saying, see with your eyes. He's saying, take notice, pay attention, and make sure that no one leads you astray. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus, and he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you." Don't just listen with your ears, but as I'm teaching, pay attention, take heed, take notice. Why? Because you need to apply these things, these teachings to your life, because in the way that you apply them, the measure that you use them, it will be measured to you. So it's important that you pay attention. In Mark 13:9, Jesus says, "But be on your guard," same word there, "for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them." So be on guard, be watchful as you are going through life, because persecution is going to come. And so this word is not just, hey, just take a glance. This word is pay attention, look at, take notice. And so we're to take notice of how we are conducting our lives. Paul emphasizes this word when he combines this word look with carefully. It's not that you pay attention, which is a word that is more than just glance. It's that you carefully pay attention. And so the thought is, take special care to take notice of how you are walking. It is important that you intentionally look at your life and take notice of the walk, the way that you're conducting your life, the path that your life is on. See, Paul just finished telling us to walk as light in the darkness. We're not to join ourselves with the darkness and therefore also join ourselves with the wrath of God. If you are walking, we talked last week, in darkness, it's because your heart is darkness. Those that walk in light walk in the light of Christ, the light of Christ that has transformed them. So don't join yourself, because you are light, don't join yourself with darkness. Instead, we are to expose the darkness. And we do that by pursuing what is good and right and true. And so Paul here takes on this tone of urgency because he wants us to understand the importance of the circumstances and therefore the necessity of paying close attention to how we live. You can't just walk through life with blinders on. You can't just walk through life just hoping that it all works out to the glory of Christ. You have to be intentional. And then when we're looking at our life, we need to make sure that we're conducting each moment of life wisely. So there's two sides of the coin here. There's a defense and there's an offense. He doesn't just say, hey, take notice to walk wisely. He says, take notice, make sure that you, in the way that you walk, that you are not walking as unwise, but walking as wise. You see two sides of the same coin. So first, we take care not to walk as unwise. We want to avoid what the darkness defines as good and right and true. See, those in the darkness are blinded by their sin. And so the path that they are taking, the decisions that they are making, the things that they are doing are not good, right, and true. Now they think that they are. They think that they're good and right and true. And so they go full bore for those things. And they stand and they'll tell you, this is what you need to do in your life. But those things are not wisdom. It's not wise. If you follow that path, you are not walking in wisdom. And so Paul says, you need to take notice of your life. Pay attention to what's going on to make sure that you are avoiding the path of the unwise, that you're not following them, that you're not going after those things. But we're also to take care to walk as wise. We have to take care to conduct ourselves in a wise way. For us as believers, the light of the glory of God has shone in our hearts in the person of Christ Jesus. So we're no longer groping as blind fools in the dark. We're not wandering around trying to find what is right and good and true. It's been given to us at the point of salvation. And so we know what is good and right and true, and the Spirit of God directs us in that. We'll talk about that more next week. But instead, we are able to know what is good and right and true, so we don't just avoid the unwise path. We take notice of our life and make sure that we are on the wise path, that we are walking in wisdom. And we're constantly doing this. We're constantly evaluating, looking, paying attention to make sure that I'm not walking in an unwise way and that I am walking in wisdom. In Proverbs 1, Solomon is instructing his son to pursue wisdom. If you look at chapters 1 through 4, I think it's 1-4, maybe 5, of Proverbs. It is talking about the value of wisdom and instructing his son to walk in wisdom. And in verse 15, he tells him, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, those that are not walking in wisdom. In Proverbs 2, when Solomon is talking about the value of wisdom, he says in verse 12, wisdom will deliver you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. In verse 20 of the same chapter, he says, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So Solomon is saying to his son, pay attention. Look at your life so that you are sure to stay off the unwise path and to stay on the path of wisdom. Paul, who knew the Old Testament well, is just echoing Solomon. He's saying, listen, for you, Christian, the same is true. You have to pay attention to your life to make sure that you are staying off the path of the unwise and that you are walking in wisdom, but not joining the deeds of darkness. Listen, walking in wisdom requires intentionality on the part of the believer. Intentionality. Now, if you are a prepper or you're someone who carries a gun or you're in law enforcement, you may already know this, but I'm just going to help you out this morning, all right? Give you a little tip. I say one of the greatest things you can do as far as protecting yourself, protecting your life, is called situational awareness. Situational awareness. In other words, making sure that you understand what is around you and the situation, all the things that are going on around you. There was a commercial I saw on TV the other night, and I think it's for a car, maybe Volkswagen, not that that's important, but anyway, it starts off with a guy, he's got headphones in, and he has his phone, and he's just walking like this, right? And so he's walking down the street, and there are bikers, a group of bikers that are coming at him. He doesn't even see them, and all of a sudden the bikers have to swerve, and they show it from up top, and so they're just going around him, and this guy just keeps on walking. Well, it goes to a family who are getting in their car, fixing to back out of their driveway. And so all the kids are in the back, and the mom puts it in reverse, and she begins to back up, and here comes this guy. He hasn't lifted up his head yet, and here comes the car. Except it's got these sensors on the back, and it starts to beep. And so it warns them, and so they don't run over that kid. Here's how we go through life often, literally and spiritually. We have no clue what's going on around us. Now listen, if you do that at 10 o'clock at night, going from the store to your car, you know what you're saying? Please mug me. Please mug me. You know why? Because you have no situational awareness. You have absolutely no idea what is going on around you. You're not paying attention, and you have put yourself in danger. Situational awareness is to make sure that your head is on a swivel. I'm looking in between the cars, I'm looking at what's going on, and I'm looking for dangers. There's a group of guys in hoodies. I don't care what color they are. If they're in a group and they're huddled around each other with their hoodies on, your antenna should go up. And you should not walk over to them and ask them any questions. That is the path of the unwise. You take the path of wisdom. You avoid that. That is situational awareness. In the same way, there needs to be situational awareness spiritually in our lives. It's imperative that we understand the reality of the darkness around us and therefore intentionally look to make sure that we are walking in wisdom so we don't join the deeds of darkness. What is going on over here? This decision that I'm about to make, is this a wise decision or not? We're not just walking through life hoping that we're on the path of wisdom. It has to be intentional. You have to look carefully at this situation, at what's going on right now in my life. I think sometimes we think being a Christian means we just put ourselves on coast spiritually. All right, I'll go to Sunday school, I'll go to church, I'll be in a life group, and I just learn all this stuff. We just kind of just coast through the rest of life. Listen, as long as we're saved, we're good, we think. I'm okay. Listen, but that is not how we think about other things in your life. Think about that. We take care to look and plan our careers so we make good choices. Listen, we don't just like throw a dart at the job listing and go, okay, that's what I'll do, hoping that it's a good choice for my family and my needs and those things. We pay close attention to our finances. We make sure that we're making good choices with our money. Why? Because we want to have some money when we retire. And so we pay attention to it. We look at the details. That's exactly what we need to be doing with our life. Do you think about those things in light of who you are in Christ? Do you think about your career in light of who you are in Christ and what He wants? Is that a wise choice, or is this a career choice that just looks good? What about your finances? Do you look at your finances and also with great detail and also say, okay, then is this a wise choice? But it isn't just the big choices of life. It's the everyday mundane moments of life. It's all that we do. The things that even we think, listen, don't have much importance in our life, but they do. It's a word spoken or a decision at work, an attitude towards your spouse. All of those things seem just mundane. They don't really make a difference, but they can have great spiritual impact. And so they need to be carefully examined. Here's another way to think about this. Are you micromanaging your heart? Are you micromanaging your heart? In other words, don't just pay attention to the big decisions in life to see if you're walking the path of wisdom, but pay attention to every little decision. And so that's why it takes constant and careful introspection. There's never a time that you stop taking notice of your life to make sure you're walking in wisdom. To do so would be like walking from the store to your car at 10 o'clock at night with your nose in your phone. When you stop looking and saying and thinking and asking, is this the path of wisdom? Am I on the path of the unwise, or am I on the path of wisdom? When you stop doing that, you have put your nose in the phone and you are not aware of what's going on around you and what's going on around you spiritually in your life. And so you become susceptible to leaving the path of wisdom and walking with the unwise. But Christ is worth it. Listen, Christ is worth the effort that it takes to make sure that each moment of your life, you are ensuring that you are not walking with the unwise and you are walking with the wise. And that leads us to our second truth. Paul says that walking in wisdom results in the redemption of each moment for the glory of Christ. Walking in wisdom results in the redemption of each moment for the glory of Christ. Listen, we've talked many times about Paul's use of the word walk. It's a metaphor for living. It gives us the picture of going through life down a certain path. And each moment is a step on that path. Each moment in your life is one step on the path that you are taking. And so Paul is telling us to be careful to pay close attention to the moments of our life so each one is conducted in a wise way. And in verse 16, he then says that when we do that, it results in making the best use of our time, of the time. Making the best use of the time. That is one word there, and it is the word for redeem. Making the best use is the word for redeem. It means to buy back. It was used in the slave market to speak of one who purchased the freedom of a slave. It's the same word that is used for our redemption through the blood of Christ. Christ shed His blood to purchase our freedom from sin. However, here Paul is using it to describe what we are to do with each moment of our life. We are to purchase them for ourselves, so we might spend them on the glory of Christ. We are to seize each moment. We are to purchase each moment that we have for ourselves so that we can then spend it, because it's in our ability to spend it how we want to, so that we can then spend it on the glory of Christ. The word for time in the Greek is not chronos, which is what we think of time, which is seconds, minutes, hours. All right? That's not it. It's kairos. Kairos is a point in time. It's a period of time, a fixed season. And so you have a fixed season in a game. You have 9 innings. And if you get to the end of those 9 innings and the bases are loaded and there's one out, you only have a fixed season to get the other 2 out so that you can win the game, right? There are fixed seasons. There are periods of time. He's talking about you have a fixed season, a time in your life. And so take advantage of the season of your life and purchase each moment to use it to shine the glory of Christ. In other words, don't wait for opportunities to come along. As Christians, we don't just sit and we decide, oh, here's an opportunity to live and shine the light of Christ. No, we seize the moments, we purchase the moments, we buy back the moments, and then we spend those moments for Christ. We are intentional about being wise in each moment, so it is spent on shining the glory of Christ into the darkness. And this is what he says, it's imperative that we do this because the days are evil, the end of verse 16. Look, we live in a fallen world. The darkness is all around us. And we see the darkness in Ephesians as Paul talked about all the things that were going on and how they were unspeakable even for the Christian. But it's not just in Paul's day, it's our day. We see the darkness all around us. Whether it's the Harris County officer executed on the way back to his patrol car, or the sex trafficking ring with multiple arrests in Kingwood, or any number of things that we hear about, these events only serve to remind us that the days that we live in, this epic, this time, they are evil. They're dark. And so it's not enough for the believer to just shake their head and say, man, how sad. How sad it was that this officer who was a Sikh who did not know the Lord was killed. I feel so bad for his family. How sad that those girls were being used in that way. Many of them against their will, coerced and forced into it. How sad all the evil around us. Somebody should do something about that. That's not how it works. We are to take and buy back and purchase every moment of our life to shine the light into the darkness. To shine the light into the darkness. When you say how sad, when you just sit there, you are basically not intentionally living wisely. To live wisely for the glory of Christ is to buy back the evil days to put them to better use. Now listen, we cannot determine how those in the darkness are going to walk. We know that they are going to walk in darkness. We know that the evil is going to be pressing in around us. The darkness is going to be there. We can't make them not do that. Now, we can pass laws that are good. We need to be doing those things to protect ourselves. But we can make sure that we use each moment of this life as an opportunity to shine the light of Christ and display His worth. Paul repeats this idea in Colossians 4, verse 5. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. It's the same idea. Purchasing, redeeming the moment for the glory of Christ. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:29. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. And those who mourn as though they were not mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as though they had no goods. And those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. Paul is not instructing us to not love your wife, to not serve your wife. He's not instructing us to be callous when a loved one dies. He's just emphasizing the importance of putting first things first because of the time. The time is short. The time is limited. It is a set period of time. And the days are evil. And so we, as Christians, have a responsibility, have a job. And our responsibility is to walk wisely, to look at our lives so that as we walk wisely, we are shining the light of Christ, the glory of Christ, into the darkness. We must redeem each opportunity and use it wisely. Listen, there's no neutrality here. You cannot be neutral. If you don't redeem the moments of your life, then they will not be used to shine the light of Christ and the glory of Christ into the darkness. It is only when we look carefully to make sure we're walking wisely that each moment is used for the glory of Christ. There's a rule in finance that says this: be managing your money or your money will be managing you. Be managing your money or your money will be managing you. You know what that means? You need to take every dollar, every penny, and you need to decide how it's going to be spent. Because if you don't, there is this tendency for your money to begin to dictate to you how you're going to be spending it. And so if you're not wise, if you say, okay, I'm just going to kind of go through life and I'm going to swipe the card here and I'm going to swipe the card there, then what happens? You forget about all those swipes and you get the bill. And instead of a $50 bill, you now have a $500 bill. Well, you weren't planning for a $500 bill. And so what begins to happen? Now your money begins to say, no, you don't get to do this because you have to take that money and you have to pay this bill off because now interest is accruing. And 500 becomes 505. And then if you're not paying that off, now your money is saying, nope, you're going to pay me. You're going to do what I tell you and you become slave to your money. Be managing your money or your money will be managing you. In the same way, the believer must realize that if we don't pay attention to each moment of life and seize it for the glory of Christ, then each moment has a tendency to dictate to us what it will be used for. You may have intent in the morning to go through your day and say, I'm going to walk wisely to the glory of Christ. But if you are not paying attention to each moment of your life, there is a tendency for each moment of your life to begin to dictate to you what you are going to do. And the moments of your life in a dark world are not going to point you to live as light for Christ. If you are not living as light, you're not neutral. You're not living in wisdom. There is no neutrality here. Listen, Christ is worth it. He is worth examining your life and making sure you are walking wisely to His glory. And it's His work on the cross that enables you to live each moment for His glory. Because of what He has done, we have been freed from sin. We have been freed from our blindness, healed from our spiritual blindness, so that we know how to walk in wisdom. He has done that. And His grace now enables you to do that. But listen, you get one life here on earth. One life here on earth. You'll never get those 15 to 20 seconds back. There's no amount of money that you can pay to buy back the moments that just passed. However, you can purchase the moments that you have left. You can redeem them for the glory of Christ by making sure in each moment of your life you are not walking on the path of the unwise, but that you are walking in wisdom. And I know that when we start talking about the brevity of life, that Hallmark tells us to spend time with our family and spend time with our friends and enjoy what we have left. And I'm all for that. But far more important than your family or your friends or your comfort is the glory of Christ. He is worthy of every moment, every second, every breath. Use them for Him. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord God, we come to You and we say thank You for the work that Christ has accomplished in us. That He is so worthy of the glory that we give Him as we sing. He is so worthy of the glory that we give Him as we come together in fellowship with one another. He is so worthy of the glory that we give Him as we pray. Cry out to Him. He is so worthy of the glory that we give to Him as we give of our time and as we give of our resources, as we give money as a sign of dependence on Him. But God, His glory is so much more than that. It is worthy of every moment of our life. It is worthy of every breath that we breathe. It is worthy of every thought that we have. And so as believers, Father, give us the grace. Give us the faith to trust in the grace that has been promised to us so that we can look into our heart and every moment determine, are we walking in a way that is wise? Are we walking on the path that is right and true and good as defined by You? So that we purchase, redeem every moment, every second for the glory of Christ. May the brevity of this life press us to see how we can fall more deeply into the grace of God and live more wisely to the glory of Christ.